Time we come to Trinity Sunday, it's always kind of like, wow, that is a lot to take in. And no matter how much we try and figure it out, we can't. Because there is this limitation in the fact that we are the creatures and God is the creator. And so there is a limitation when you come to this text of having to realize you can't figure out all of what God is up to and how he does it all, and yet we trust by faith that it all does. And so again, we just kind of get into this text and we just say once again, wow, that's amazing, God. So I want to share with you a couple verses from our gospel reading here to start us for today, and it's these words. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John, to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. Why was Jesus baptized? Why? If people from Judea were flocking out to meet John the Baptist to be baptized, confessing their sins, then why was Jesus baptized? If John the Baptist was calling the baptized to repent and change their sinful ways, then why was Jesus baptized? Why was Jesus baptized? Because it just doesn't make any sense. Jesus is not a sinner. Jesus has no need to repent. Jesus has no sinful ways to change. And so it's no wonder then that John would have prevented Jesus, or at least tried to prevent Jesus from being baptized, because John's like, it makes no sense, Jesus. Why do you need to be baptized? Jesus was baptized to die. This is why Jesus came. This was Jesus' mission. He came to die, and in doing so would fulfill all righteousness. But you see, it all started with him getting down into those baptismal waters and identifying with sinners like you and like me, subjecting himself to a baptism for repentance. He who knew no sin became sin. He actually got into those dirty waters, if you will. And from the point of his baptism on, he was now subject to the wage of being a sinner. Not that he's a sinner, but he's taken on the sinfulness of humankind. And because of that, the wages of sin is death. Jesus was baptized to die. Now that's quite a phrase, and so we're going to have to unpack it here. And so the thing is, we tend to associate baptism with washing and cleansing and the forgiveness of sins, and we tend to think of baptism and we think of the guarantee of life and salvation, and we connect it to how the baptismal rite quotes 1 Peter when it says, baptism now saves you. And all of that would be true. But why is all of that true? It's true because Jesus was baptized to die. It's true because Jesus allowed himself to enter into those baptismal waters for repentance. Remember, when we're talking about baptism, it's not just plain water. It's not tap water. It's not bottled water. It's not Dasani or Evian or Aquafina here. Baptism is water included in God's command and combined with God's word. Baptism is included in God's command and combined with God's word. Our baptism is all about who came and made himself known in that water. His name is Jesus, the Word who became flesh. In essence, what I'm saying here, people, is there's something going on in the water. There's something going on. It's Jesus. He's the one who got down into those baptismal waters for repentance for us and for our salvation. In fact, our rite of baptism actually says it this way. Through the baptism in the Jordan of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you sanctified. It means you made holy, you set apart and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood and a lavish washing away of sin. That means there is something going on in those waters. And his name is Jesus. It's not Dawn dish soap. It's not tied with bleach or any other cleaning agent. There in the waters that you were baptized into is none other the Son of God, none other than the Son of God who came to die your death and mine. It's not just plain water, people. The one who joins us in the waters of our baptism came for a purpose to die, but he came to serve as our substitute. But you see, this is no ordinary substitute, because we have a way here, contemporary thought of thinking of a substitute, and it doesn't work the same way. So I want to explain that here for a second. When I was a senior in high school, I had the privilege of playing the greatest game in the entire world, which is basketball. That's not up for discussion. That's just a fact. All right. And so I sat on the end of the bench in basketball, and I got pretty much no playing time behind the all-conference center. And I would say throughout the course of the year, I averaged about 1 point per game. So yeah, I was that good, people. Anyway, at the end of the bench, I will tell you that there is an advantage, though. I did learn all of the cheers from the cheerleading squad throughout the entire year. The point of me telling you this story is not to tell you that I learned the cheerleading squad cheers, but rather to say that as a substitute player, I wasn't as good as the starter. In fact, it's typically not expected that the substitute is going to produce at the same level as a starter in a basketball game or any other sport for that matter. The starter is usually the better athlete, right? And that's why they get more playing time. The reverse, however, is true. If we use that same analogy for the nation of Israel or anyone in humankind over throughout the course of history, be it Israel or any of us, any person throughout history, as the so-called starters in this proverbial game of life, we have played terribly. We have failed miserably. Ever since the Garden of Eden, we have sinned and we continue to sin. And so death is the due penalty for the sorry performance we so-called starters have displayed. And that is why we need a substitute. But not just any substitute, we need a rockin' awesome substitute. We need someone who can come in and do what we could not do, because after all, we have failed. So it comes back to the question, why was Jesus baptized? It's because humanity needed a substitute, but not just in life, but also in death. And so this is why Jesus came. He came to be everything that Israel was not. He came to be everything that you were not. He came to be everything that I was not. He came to be able to live the life that we could not. And he came to die the death that in no way could we die either. Only Jesus could live a perfect life. Only Jesus could bear the weight of all of humanity's sinfulness. Only Jesus could endure the wrath of his Father on the cross. And only Jesus could give his life and then have his Father look at that perfect sacrifice and then say, with this, the perfect life of my Son, am I well pleased. Only Jesus. But here's the awesome part. It's because of Jesus that now when God the Father looks at you, He does not see a sinner that is doomed to die. He sees the substitute. He sees the one that got down into the water. He sees Jesus. When He looks at you, He sees a child that is perfect in every way with whom He is well pleased. He doesn't see your sins. He sees that you've been washed. He sees that you've been cleansed. He sees that you've been sanctified. He sees His own beloved child. And with you, He is well pleased. So why was Jesus baptized? He was baptized to die, yeah. But He was baptized to die because that's what it took to save you and to make you His child. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. God's own child, I gladly say it. I am baptized into Christ. He, because I could not pay it, gave my full redemption price. Do I need earth's treasures many? Mm-mm. I have one worth more than any. That brought me salvation free, lasting to eternity. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's rise.